Good morning. A warm welcome to everyone. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, and each and every one of us will be richly blessed by being here. Today, especially in the Anglican Church, is Ascension Sunday, because on Thursday just past, that is the Ascension Day, and that was the day when the Anglican Church specifically celebrate the Ascension of the Lord Jesus. So if you hear Ascension Sunday or Ascension mentioned in this within this service, you know what's going on. Now also, let's find out what's going on in our church here. Caleb, Evan and Joel Reed, are they here? Caleb, Evan and Joel Reed, put your hand up if you're here. Well, one of them's here. They have a new sister. Andrea and Philip Reed, put your hand up if you're here. There they are. They have a new daughter. And here in our church family, we have a new addition to our church family. So let's all of us give a big welcome to Gillian Reed. Come on, let's see Gillian. That's lovely. I'm sure those boys will bring Gillian up fine. It's a big, big warm welcome, and I'm sure we'll all get to know Gillian very well as time progresses. Betty Ann, over to you. Thank you.
Good morning. The announcements this morning on the back of the bulletin board. Joanne is looking for shoebox lids. When I read this last week, I thought she was looking for shoeboxes. But she's looking for the lids of shoeboxes, Kleenex boxes or shallow boxes, approximately the size of a shoebox lid. So if you have any and are willing to part with them, you could bring them to the foyer next week or whenever it comes to mind. The elders' meeting is next Saturday morning, May the 26th at 9 o'clock. And the church picnic, a great time for everyone, is June the 17th. And I don't know where it is. Neither does Ian. We shall picnic. And we shall find out more before June the 17th. Grant Anning is doing the ride to conquer cancer and welcomes any contributions. And those of you with lawnmowers, again, are reminded to sign up in the foyer if you have one that can come to church. Is anyone else an announcement? Courtney.
So I just wanted to announce that the youth group is going to try and do a fundraiser this spring. And how we're going to do that is donate our youth to you to have them do kind of odd jobs for you, whether it's babysitting or gardening or whatever you can think of. We'd like if this could kind of get going as soon as possible. I've printed off a list of all the youth and their contact information. So after church, if you want to see me, I can give you a business card for a youth member, or if you would like to think about it and maybe do it next week or talk to a youth member that you have in mind, whatever works for you, that would be great. We'd like the youth to work for about minimum of 2 hours to a maximum of about 10 hours, and we'd kind of like to wrap it up by end of June, middle of July, just so that, you know, a poor youth member doesn't get stuck bailing for somebody all summer. So if you could see me after church, that would be great. And just keep it in mind for the spring. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Courtney. I hope and I'm sure you'll get lots of support in that. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And on Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the gift to the church of the Holy Spirit. And if you remember, it came down as flames of fire. And so next Sunday, wear red. Everybody wear red next Sunday. We should figure out some fine, you know. If you don't wear red, you
you get to preach the sermon or something like that. So next Sunday, don't forget, wear red. We'll all be resplendent in red, and we will celebrate the gift to the church of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so any other announcements? We're all done? Okay. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. In 1 John chapter 5, we read these words, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now, I don't know how he's had time to do it, but Phil, the youth praise were scheduled for this Sunday, but all of his youth praise team are away camping. And so Phil says, well, I'm it. And he said, I've always got something up my sleeve. Thank you, Phil. Let's see what's up your sleeve.
I was stuck at home anyway, right? I thought about going camping, but Andy didn't think I should. Okay, we're going to start this morning with a song that we have done before. It should be doable if I had the words somewhere. One moment. That's the ticket. It's called Faithful One. Now, I'm not entirely sure about if there's a difference between the word faith, the meaning of the word faithful, and someone who's worthy of faith, that is worthy of putting our faith in, but I think I know that the second one is descriptive of God for sure. So, Faithful One.
Faithful One, so unchanging, ageless One, you're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall. Trouble, you lift me up.
Next song we're going to do is called Good to Me.
I cry out for your hand of mercy to heal me. I am weak. I need your love to free me. Oh Lord, my rock, my strength in weakness, come rescue me. Oh Lord, you are my hope, your promise never fails me, and my desire is to follow you. To heal me, oh, I am weak. I need your love to free me, oh Lord, my rock, my strength in weakness. Come rescue me, oh Lord. You are my hope, your promise never. To follow you forever. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me.
We'll finish up this morning with a song called I Will Celebrate.
Lord, a new song with my heart rejoice.
You know what? This is going to be more difficult trying to sing songs that you don't have the words to. That being the case, back to you, Ian.
Our thanks to Father Philip for those early devotions. And we understand, Phil. You've got a few things going on right now. We understand. So shall we just bow our heads and join together in prayer? Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you have given to each of us this day, this great joy and this great privilege of being able to come together in this holy place of worship. And we are thankful, Father, as we enter this place, we are immediately filled with joy. We are happy to be here, Lord. We are happy to be in the presence of one another. But above all, Lord, we know that when we meet together in your name, there you are in the midst. And we rejoice, Lord, and we celebrate your joy, your grace, your love, all things that you are to us as we gather this day. And so, Father, in this time of worship, we ask and pray that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, that each of us may hear your voice as you speak to us in different aspects of our worship service today. And we pray, Holy Father, that you will accept the praise we bring. We worship you, Lord. We rejoice in our Savior Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is from Acts chapter 15. No. Acts chapter 1, verses 15 to 17 and 21 to 26. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled, in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us. Beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's hearts. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. He was also added to the 11 apostles. The responsive reading is from Psalm 1. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
And now once again we're happy to have Philip come up and join us for special music, this time with music and words.
You think so?
Hopefully.
Picked a song this morning called La La Land, and it's pretty tongue-in-cheek, so I think you'll get it.
The question isn't whether it's true, the question is it working for you. Marshmallow skies and custardy pies, and nothing's too hard to do. There are five happy verses or so. They told me all I needed to know. Ignore all the rest, trials and tests, and threats to my comfort zone.
Well, I've got no time to find out what's real. I stick with what I happen to feel. It feels grand when you're living in a la-la land. You can name a blessing yourself, stake a claim on power and wealth, and strong healthy teeth, a spot at the beach, and romance that's really swell. All the saints and martyrs alive, well, they would have called a national strike, demanded less pain, more personal gain, if only they'd known their rights. Well, I take it very personally. Yeah, I gotta know what's in it for me. Ain't it grand when you're living in a la-la land? I've got my prayer cloth collection in a Jesus jar. I've got the Holy Ghost riding in the back of my car. Sometimes he gives a little tickle, I go hearty har-har. Ain't it grand when you're living in a la-la land? Ain't it grand when you're living in a la-la land? My Jesus decal does quite a trick. Right above my dashboard I stick it, a good luck charm. It keeps me from harm and saves me from speeding tickets. Well, I take it very personally. Yeah, I gotta know what's in it for me. Ain't it grand when you're living in a la-la land? Ain't it grand when you're living in a la-la land? Ain't it grand when you're living in a la-la land?
Thank you, Philip. La-La Land is over there. Can you see him back to his seat? Philip always produces something different. He gives us something to think about, and we appreciate you, Phil. Thank you. Thank you so much for that.
And one
sorry?
I need one
of those stickers. Oh, he wants a decal. I wonder how long before that one finds its way into our hymn book. And now your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for the blessings of life that you so freely shower down upon us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. The children would like to come and join me, please. Yeah. Hold on, they're still coming. Still coming in. Okay, who has a best friend? Most people have a best friend, don't they? Have you ever had times when you're out with your best friend that you're walking along together, or you're sitting together, or you're just together, and it's quiet? You don't know what to talk about. Don't you get times like that? Well, maybe some of you don't, but some of us do. You know, you're just not sure what to talk about next. What about when you say your prayers? Do you ever get the time when you start to say your prayers and you can't think what to talk to God about? Right? You can't think what to say to God. Do you get that? What about you people out there? Does that happen to you? Sure it does. Happens to all of us. Sometimes we sit down and we start to say our prayers and we just run out of what to say. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to give you a way to remember what to pray to God about when you can't think of anything yourself. So first of all, put your hands together as if you were going to say a prayer, but keep your eyes open. Okay, are you ready? Now then, look at your hands. Which finger is the closest to you? Your thumb. Your thumb is the closest. So first of all, pray for the people. Thank God for the people who are closest to you and pray for them. Now who might that be? Your mum and dad. Okay, your parents. Brothers and sisters. You got it. Your neighbours? Yep. Anybody who you feel is close to you. Thank God for them. And pray for them. Okay, so your thumb, number one, the closest. Pray for the people who are closest. Okay, back to our prayer hands. Which finger is next? Pointer. Your pointing finger. Is that what we do with that finger? Who do you point at with your finger? Yeah. So, I'll tell you who you pray for next. You pray for the people who point you in the right direction in life. People who point you in the right direction in life. Who might that be?
Teacher.
We've already prayed for your mum and dad.
Teacher.
Your teachers. Anybody else?
You.
Me? Well, thank you. What you mean by me is people at church, don't you? Okay, yep, your pastor, your Sunday school teachers, your elders in the church, people who do things for God in the church, people who are pointing you in the right direction in life. Okay, back to your prayer hands. So we've got number one. Who was number one? Those closest to you. Number two. People who point you in the right direction. Now then, back to your prayer hands. Look at your hand. Which finger's usually the tallest? This one. So this is This is number three. And that's the tallest. So next, pray for people who are leaders. Now, who might they be? No, you've already prayed for me. Who? The principal. The principal is the leader of the school. Could be, yep, the principal.
Who leads our country? The Prime Minister. And the Prime Minister has people who work for him and with him. They're called the government. Excellent. People who lead in life. Now, who else leads in life? What? Who enforces the laws? Jesus, right. This kid's good. Doesn't matter what the question is. If you say Jesus, it's got to be right. Think of the police force. And think of firefighters. And think of paramedics. And people who are leaders in the community. So, number one is closest to us. Number two, people who point us in the right direction. The tall one, number three. Leaders, right. Now we come to this one, number four. It's called, gets called the ring finger, doesn't it? The ring. Why does it get called that? Oh, yeah, so I do. You're right, it's your ring finger. Now then, who's ever been taught to play the piano? Which finger is supposed to be your weakest finger? That one, yeah. That one, people who play the piano, if they're taught to play the piano, they are taught that this is the weakest finger. Number four is the weakest finger. Who should we pray for? Who are the weak? Weak people? Poor people? Who else? Who else might be weak people? People with bad health. People who are sick. People who are ill. Yep. People who have bad habits. People who don't know Jesus. Okay? So these are all the people. You've got it yourself. Think, this is the weakest finger. Think of anybody who you can think of who you might think is a weak person. And you pray for them. Back to your prayer hands. Who have we got left? The little pinky. I wonder who that should be in your prayer. Who's last? Who's last? No, we've prayed for them. They're first. They're near to us. Who's last? Think of the word joy. And J is for Jesus. And O is for others. And Y is for yourself. So who's last? We pray for ourselves last. Don't forget to pray for yourself. Jesus made you. He made you for a purpose. You are important. He's got things for you to do. And you are important to your home, to your family, to your school, to lots of people. So last we have our pinky, ourselves. Let's have a summarise. Number one.
People closest.
Number two. In the right direction. Number three.
Leaders.
Number four. Weak people. And finally, yourself. You've got it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you taught us many things in life, but you taught us how important it is for us to pray. And we thank you, Father, that by looking our hands in prayer, you will teach us how to pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless us as we sing. Kathy, bless us as we sing.
Thank you, Cathy. Now you need to bubble your way back up here again. For we stand and we sing to the glory of God, the hymn 229, Our God Reigns. Come to our time of prayer, and you'll find that when we get to the scripture readings, the New Testament reading is a part of that portion of scripture which is known as Jesus' high priestly prayer. And prayer played a very huge part in Jesus' life. Whenever Jesus had any decisions to make, he went away and found some quiet place and he prayed. And you'll find that when we get to the message, you will find that the message is about prayer. And for those of you who need it, that is a clue as to what the strange story is about that I will be telling you at the beginning of the message. But that comes later. Right now, God hears prayer. He hears all prayers. No matter how humble that prayer may be, no matter whether it's just a simple expression of our heart, he hears every single prayer. We do not need to be eloquent, and for that, Lord, I thank you. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, your Son, our Lord Jesus, promised that if he is lifted up, he would draw all people unto himself. Father, we ask that you would draw us to him by faith, so that we may live to serve you and to look forward to life eternal. Lord, on Thursday of this past week, your church remembered the ascension of our Savior Jesus. We remember, Lord, that he is with you, and that with you he reigns in all glory over all things. Lord, help our faith that we may see that. That true to your promise, you are with us. You are among us still and will be with us for all times. And we thank you, Father, that by your continuing presence with us in your Spirit, you sustain us day by day. You stay with us by night. By night, Lord, especially when our cares and our concerns seem to overwhelm us. And as we thank you, Father, for the joy of your presence in our lives, we also praise you that your glorious presence is right here within our church family, and that by your love we are united, we are strong, and we remain strong as a family. And we thank you, Father, that today we are able to welcome little Julian into our church family. And we pray, gracious Father, that as you have granted her the blessing of a wonderful Christian home, that you will grant her your grace, your love, your joy in her life as she grows and as she becomes a young lady. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming amongst us. And as you come amongst us, you reconcile and you make new all of your creations. And as we worship you this day, Lord, we are all aware of people, our friends, our family, our acquaintances, who would rejoice in your healing and renewing presence in their lives right at this time. And so, Father, as we whisper their names before your throne of grace, we see them in our mind's eye. We see them, Lord, surrounded by your great glory, and we see your healing arms around them. And as you grant them your peace and your grace in their body, in their mind, and in their spirit, we ask you, Lord, to let your healing hand be upon them. We ask you now, Lord, to hear our silent prayers, for these are friends. Eternal Father, your Son and our Saviour Jesus ascended to the throne of heaven that he might rule over all things as Lord. Keep his church in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of his peace, that we might show the world the light that you want them to see. Bless us here, Father, in our church family. Bless and protect our homes and grant us grace sufficient of your Spirit, that we may worthily magnify your holy name as we lift up the name of Jesus in all things that we say and in everything that we do. Lord, we ask you to hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord. Boy, we're working you hard today.
The Gospel is from John chapter 17, verses 6 through 19. Now, this is Jesus praying for his disciples right before he was betrayed by Judas. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but I pray for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And the epistle is from 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life.
Thanks to Phil for those readings from the scriptures. You may rest now, Phil. Thank you. And now we stand again and we sing once again to the glory of God. We sing 105, He is Lord.
A shepherd yet a lamb.
Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to share with you a strange story. A story I came across when I was researching the message for our service today. And I must admit, at first, I failed to see the point of this story. But then, as usually, the penny dropped, the light came on. And I'm sure you'll see what I mean when I tell you this strange story. The story is by a man called Hugh Price Hughes. And it is called The City of Everywhere. The City of Everywhere. So a man arrives in this city one cold morning, and as he gets off the train, he sees that the station is just like any other station, except for one thing. Everyone is barefoot. No one wears shoes. So he takes a taxi, and the cab driver is barefoot. And he says to the cab driver, "Excuse me, but I was just wondering why you don't wear shoes. Don't you believe in shoes?" "Sure we do," says the driver. "Then why don't you wear them?" "Ah, that's the question," the driver replies. "Why don't we wear shoes? Why don't we?" At the hotel it is the same. The clerk, the bellboys, everybody is barefoot. So in the coffee shop he notices a nice looking gentleman at the tables opposite him. Nice dress suit, shirt, tie, but no shoes. Barefoot. "I notice you aren't wearing any shoes," he says to the man. "I wonder why. Don't you know about shoes?" The man replies, "Well, of course I know about shoes." "Then why don't you wear them?" asks the stranger. "Ah, that is the question," says the man. "Why don't we? Why don't we?" After breakfast, he walks out into the street and it is snowing. And every person he sees is barefoot. So he stops another man and he asks him about it. And he points out how shoes protect your feet from the snow and from the cold. And the man says, "Well, I know that. We know all about shoes." He says, "See that building over there? That is a shoe manufacturing plant. We are proud of that plant. And every week we go over there and we gather and we listen to the man in charge. And he tells us all about shoes and how wonderful they are." "Then why don't you wear them?" he says. "Ah, that is the question. Why don't we? Why don't we?" That's it. We've got the benediction now. Now, I'm not the only person quoting this strange story, because it is also quoted by Dr. Robert E. Goodrich in his book, which is entitled "What's It All About?" Now, that's a pretty good question to ask when you've just had a strange story like that. What's it all about? And after telling this story, Dr. Goodrich asks his own question. And his question is, don't we believe in prayer? Don't we believe in prayer? Don't we know what prayer could mean to our lives? Well, of course we do. We know all about prayer, don't we? Then why don't we? Why don't we? That is the question. The Lord Jesus wants us to pray. And he wants us to pray in faith. To start with, faith to believe that God is listening to our prayers. And he wants to hear our prayers. And faith to believe that God answers prayer. All prayer. So, do we have faith? Do we have faith? Question: who taught you to walk? Maybe you can't remember. But someone stood alongside of you, supported you, encouraged you, and eventually got you to believe sufficiently in yourself that you could take those first staggering steps, those first steps that we remember from all of our children and our grandchildren. We never forget them. Someone gave you the faith to believe that you could do that. Who taught you to swim? If you ever did learn. You learned to survive in the water by gaining confidence from your instructor that the water is not going to swallow you up and drown you, but it will float you. You trusted someone to make that learning environment feel safe for you. You put faith in someone and they gave you faith. Who taught you to ride your first two-wheeler? In all likelihood, you would have learned it, not yourself, but by a trustworthy person alongside of you who ran with you, ran all along. Once those training wheels came up, they were right there with you. And they got you to believe in yourself that you could do it. And you did do it until you realized what you were doing and then you fell off. It's like Peter walking on the water, wasn't it? When he wasn't looking at himself, but when he was looking at Jesus, he could do it. And when he realized what he was doing, woof, down he went. Ironically, this reliance on trustworthiness of others eventually leads us to the ability to trust ourselves, to have faith. And as a result of my trust in that person alongside of me, I can walk, I can swim, I can ride a bike. And in this life, because of that trustworthy person who walks alongside of me, I can achieve the things with God's gifts that he has given me for the purpose that he's given me them. I can do it. I can do all things in the strength of Christ my Saviour because he walks with me. There was once a man who had a burning desire to know what God's will in his life was for him. So he opened his Bible randomly and he pointed his finger and he pointed to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. And it said to him, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord." And he thought, "Wow, that's great. This system works. I'll try it again." So he opened his Bible once again and he pointed, and this time it was St. John chapter 13. And he read these words. Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do it quickly." Wow, he thought. This is great. Okay, Lord, I'm hearing you, but could you be a little bit more precise? So his Bible flopped open again and he pointed, and this time it was Matthew chapter 27, and he read the words, "Then he went away and hanged himself." Maybe you've used this method of seeking God's guidance before yourself, but I would not recommend it. There are better ways to talk to the Lord and to seek his guidance than that particular way. In that first scripture reading that we had this morning, Peter and the other disciples needed to make a decision. They needed God's guidance in how they should go about replacing Judas, who had hanged himself. They had a short list of two people. Joseph called Barsabbas, not Barabbas, Barsabbas. Bar just means son of. Joseph, son of Sabbas. Like Macfarquhar means son of Farquhar. Okay? Bar is son of. That's right, Bill, isn't it? That is right. Okay? So Joseph called Barsabbas and Matthias. And Acts 1:24 tells us how they went about seeking guidance from the Lord. Then they prayed. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry which Judas left to go where he belongs. The key words is then they prayed. They did what Jesus would have done. Every time Jesus had decisions to make, he prayed. How many times do we read he went off somewhere quiet to pray? He went up a mountainside where it was quiet to pray. And as we read in the epistles, the early church faithfully followed Jesus' example. They prayed. They prayed about everything. They sought guidance from the only one who was able to give us the best possible advice. They prayed. And they had faith to believe that God would hear their prayer and that he would answer them. They believed, they had faith. Now Jesus didn't just pray when he had difficult decisions to make. He prayed all the time. And he prayed especially when he needed strength and perseverance to go on. As he did that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night in which he was betrayed. Jesus was scared. He was God with us, but he was human. And he was just like us. He knew what was coming, and he was scared. My Father, he prayed, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. And in our gospel reading today, we hear that Jesus prayed for his friends. The prayer he prayed in the upper room at the Last Supper. The prayer known as his high priestly prayer. The prayer, and in that prayer, he prayed for you and for me. He prayed for us. From John 17, Jesus prayed, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. I am coming to you now. But I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. May they be one as we are one. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. They were extracts from Jesus' high priestly prayer. Read it yourselves in John chapter 17. And Jesus prayed for his friends. And he revealed in that prayer what eternal life is. Did you pick that up? Jesus prayed, now this is eternal life. Now this is eternal life. And you don't have to wait until you're dead for it. You do not have to wait until you die, which some people think. Now this is eternal life, says Jesus, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. If you know God and you know Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You have eternal life. And Jesus' desire for us is to be involved in prayer in all aspects of our daily lives, that he may continue to strengthen us, sustain us, guide us, uphold us, take us where he wants us to be. And his Holy Spirit is right there with us. And you know, those times when you're not sure what to pray for, when you're not sure how to take the cares and the concerns or the joys of your heart and put them into words, I can't make it eloquent enough, doesn't matter. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Christ's Holy Spirit, who knows your heart, who knows our hearts, takes our prayers and speaks to God the Father on our behalf. When our minds are muddled and frustrated, when we can't get our thoughts into words, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. I like the way the Contemporary English Version puts this. Let me read it to you. The Contemporary English Version for this verse says this: in certain ways we are weak, but the Spirit is here to help us. For example, when we don't know what to pray for, the Spirit prays for us in ways that cannot be put into words. Doesn't that say it? Isn't that reassuring? How often have you been in that situation when your heart is weighed down and you're worried and you're caring about someone, or you're so joyful that it's bubbling over and you don't know how to word it? There are members here of our church family who I refer to as prayer warriors. Prayer warriors. They pray without ceasing. They are the power that drives this church, that drives Christ's church. They do what Christ wants his church to do. Now, I may stand here, as it were, on the bridge and tell people what they ought to do, but these are the people who are down in the engine room making sure the power for Christ's church is there, powering Christ's church along. They do what needs to be done to move Christ's church forward. Praying. Jesus wants all of us to pray. As the story goes, of course we know all about shoes. Over there is a shoe factory where they make shoes. We go over there every week and we listen to the man in charge tell us about how wonderful shoes are. Then why don't you wear shoes? Asked the stranger. Ah, that's the question, said the man. Why don't we? Why don't we? Thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymns, we start by standing and singing to the glory of God the hymn 497. Near to the Heart of God.
Near to the Heart of God.
Sunday?
Red.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.
Thank you.